a snowy day out there. I came, it was just beautiful rain, and it turned into some crazy snow. That's pretty crazy. So, but glad that you made it here, and good to see everybody this morning. Last week, we started a new series called Walk Across the Room, and it's a metaphor used to describe what we do as we share our faith with those that are friends or family or maybe a coworker. But it's this idea of seeing someone maybe across a room when you enter it, or maybe you're talking with a group of friends and you notice someone standing against the back wall. They don't have anyone else standing around them, and the Holy Spirit prompts you a little bit to notice them, and then you just walk across that room and go and strike up a conversation with them, and all of a sudden you find out their story, and it gives you an opportunity to share your faith. You know, the Bible says that we should all share our faith. The Lord commanded his disciples. One of the last things that he told them was that they are to make disciples of all nations. They are to share their faith. And then in Acts 1, verse 8, it says that you are to be my witnesses. Our job as we live in this earth is to try to influence people by sharing with them the good news of who Jesus Christ is. But a lot of us have a fear of that, and a lot of us don't really know how to go about doing that. And the whole purpose of this series is to teach us that it's just in casual conversations that we're able to develop these life-changing relationships with people. It's as simple as walking across the room. Last week we learned that one of the most beautiful gifts that we can give a person is the gift of knowing who God is. That there's a God out there that loves them, that wants to have a relationship with them, and that wants to give them a purpose in life. And so for us to be able to share that gift, we need to be willing to walk across the room, leave our circle of comfort, which we realized was the safe place that we like to stand within, and then to move into the zone of the unknown. We don't know what we're going to encounter when we talk to that person or what they're going through in life, but we're willing to break through that in order to hear their story. And then the second thing we learned is that we need to listen to the Spirit's prompting to urge us to go. You know, sometimes you just have that sense that you need to go talk with someone. You don't know why, you don't know for what reason, but deep inside you know that the Spirit is just kind of pushing you a little bit. And then the third thing we learned was that you just got to walk. You just got to take those steps, and you got to move towards where the Spirit is prompting. Our assignment last week was that we were to try to remember who walked across the room and introduced us to Jesus, and we were to write them a card or send them a note or whatever it might be, and I hope that you're able to do that. I already talked with a few people that that were going to do so, and the stories that they told me were just really, really neat about the people in their life that you wouldn't think of being an influence in them, but they were an influence, and they did little things in order to get them or to share with them or to make sure that they heard who Jesus was. And so I hope that you're able to do it. If you haven't done that yet, I would encourage you to do that. And if you can't think of the person that helped walk, you know, that shared faith with you, maybe write another letter of someone that just kind of is a model of that for you, that just exudes Christ's love and is able to share with others. And just encourage them to keep doing that. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 18, the Bible says, God, through Christ, changed us from enemies into his friends and gave us the task of making friends or making others his friends as well. One Bible translation will use the term reconcile, that he would reconcile us, and he's given us the ministry of reconciliation, of becoming friends once again. And I like that image because it pushes it into the realm of relationship. And that's what we're talking about, a relationship with God. But then it's our relationship with other people to help them have a relationship with God. So today we're going to look at something very important as well. And here's the main point that I want to get across, which is this. To be able to share Jesus with others, we must be truly engaged in the lives of the people around us. And what I mean by that is that we need to develop purposefully relationships with them so that we're able in that relationship, because they trust us and because we love them, that we're able to share our faith with them. That is the best context of sharing Jesus with others, is in relationship. And so we're going to talk about how to live in a 3D relationships today. 3D. Do you like going to 3D movies? I don't like paying the extra couple bucks that you have to go to. And a lot of times they kind of tack on 3D in movies just so they can get the extra couple of bucks. If a movie is made, I thought Avatar was unbelievable in 3D. And I went a couple of times because it was like they recreated this world. Most of it was computer simulated. But if you've seen that movie, the beauty and the color, which was unbelievable, it makes you, 3D versus 2D. 2D, it's just on a flat screen, and you can see a lot of it, and you still have beautiful scenery. But 3D, it just brings it alive, and you can kind of look around things, and you feel like you're a part of it. And so it's quite an experience. And now they even have 3D TVs. I remember we just had black and white TVs back when I was growing up and just a couple of stations that we had. Now we got 3D TVs, so it's coming into our living room as well. But that idea of 3D, and what it does is it gives you a sense. It gets you more intimately involved with what you're watching. So when I think of 3D relationships, these are different aspects that help us develop a more realistic or a more engage kind of relationship with other people. And we're going to look at 3Ds, literally they're words that start with the letter D, that helps us develop these kinds of life-changing relationships. And I wanted to highlight that as well. Remember, these are life-changing. This is a relationship that you strike up with someone that could change their eternal destinies forever. And so that's why it's vitally important that we learn how to do these, or learn how to develop relationships like this so that we might have an impact of another person's life. So how to live in 3D. The first is simply develop friendships. We've already talked about that, but it's being purposeful in developing friendships. Good friendships are usually intentional rather than accidental. Developing friendships with non-believers often requires going the second mile, sometimes taking a risk, and sometimes moving outside of your comfort zone. And with our busy lives, it takes planning. And if you don't plan to develop relationships, especially what I call life-changing or eternity-changing relationships, it's never going to happen. So you have to be very purposeful behind it. That's why it's this verb, to develop them. I need to develop relationships. So how do you develop them? Well, you start out with, you got to be contagious yourself. You got to develop your own walk with the Lord. Contagious in the sense of that your personality, now you don't have to have an outgoing personality, you don't have to be just, downright funny, you don't have to, it just means that you're living your Christian life in a way that's attractive to other people. That means that it's attractive to them. They look at you and they notice something different. I had a friend of mine, his name was Craig, and Craig worked in the nursing area, in nursing homes, and he lived his life, if you knew Craig, he was always kind of a positive, happy-go-lucky guy, and he loved the Lord tremendously. And he would work, and I've never worked with him before other than in church context. But I can imagine him at work just loving the patients that he was dealing with and just having a different attitude. And some of his friends noticed that, and three people approached him one day and asked them, I said, what is it about you that's so different? We want that. We want what you got. And so he was able to sit down with them and do a Bible study with them and share with them that he was a Christian and this is what happened in his life. And he helped lead those girls, there were three ladies, to the Lord. And I talked with one of those, Craig didn't tell me that story, I talked with a lady, and when she came to visit a church that I was a part of, and I asked her, how did you come to know the Lord? And she said, I met this Craig, and he just lived in the way that I wanted what he had, and so I approached him. That's what I mean by living a contagious life. We want you to be contagious, not to sneeze on people, but we want you to live your Christian life in a way that people take notice. And that's wherever you're at. It's how you do business. It's how you approach work. What kind of attitude? If you're at work and you're always complaining and you're lazy and you're grumping around, that's not very attractive to people. And so when they find out that you're a Christian, number one, don't tell them you're from Bear Creek. Tell them you're from another church. And then don't tell them that even. But anyway, that's how important it is. Our attitudes, who we are, will attract or repel people away from Christ. So it begins there. Live an attractive lifestyle. Secondly, then start looking for opportunities wherever you're at. Look for opportunities to build friendships. It could be, start with your family. You start with your circle of influence. And then maybe your neighbors or your co-workers, those that you're with a long time, 8 hours a day. So develop friendships in those areas. Places where you like to shop or do business. And I always recommend that you go to the same gas station. We go to the same gas station. They know what we buy. In fact, they'll walk in and go, man, you're not getting very much today. They even know how much we buy because we get everything at Quick Trip. Good gas or good milk, good bread, good bananas, all those great things. So we try to develop friendships with those people that are working there so that they kind of know you on a one-to-one basis. You never know where that can go. Go to the same bank, go with the same teller, and just build small talk with them and find out a little bit about it. It was funny because Carrie has this credit. It's not a credit card. We don't have credit cards. We have bank cards. And she put on there, I always bake her a cake for her birthday. And I baked her one a few years ago. I baked her a triple layer cake. I always try to come up with something a little different every year. So I baked her a triple layer cake. It was the first time I ever did. I saw it on TV and I saw it in the Betty Crocker book. It looks so perfect and the angles are beautiful. And you know, so that's what I was going to bake her. So I did that. I made the triple layers and I frosted that baby. And I put the number, I can't remember how, let's see. How old is she? 25. I put 25 on whatever number it was. And I put that on there, had these candles with the numbers on it, and I lit it, and it looked beautiful. It was beautiful. But as we sat there and watched it, one thing I learned is that you got to cool the cake down before you frost it. You can't do it when it's warm. Because when I put those candles on there, all of a sudden it was like Moses parting the Red Sea. The cake just went like this, and it split right down the middle, and all the frosting melted in there, and it was just this mess. Well, Carrie thought it was the greatest thing ever. So she takes a picture of it, and sure enough, that's what's on her credit or on her bank card is a picture of this cake. But I bet you we've had 5 conversations just with that little card. With that, they go, man, look at that cake. That's really funny. And I'm standing there, yeah, real funny. What'd you do? What happened? And then so she gets to tell that story. And so it gives you an opportunity to start and kind of talk a little bit about it. And so they say, you baked the cake. Yeah, I baked the cake. You know, you kind of... Yeah, I did. and then they talk, well, how'd you do? Well, I told them that. And I said, well, that's a good thing. Well, I try to do that and so on. But it gives you something to connect with. That's my point with that, all right? So you never know. But we talked to bank teller about it. That's what made me think of it because she just laughed and it was so impressed. Well, the next time I walk in, she'll remember that I'm the dude that baked the cake. And so you build a relationship with it. Does that make sense? All right. So you do that. Just be purposeful where you go. And then see that you never know what you come across. Pretty soon you open the door and that person will start sharing with you that they had a bad day. And that opens the door for conversation. So wherever you're at, always make sure you're representing Christ in a positive way. Even if you have to go and complain somewhere, do so in a positive way. People take notice of that. Okay? So start looking for opportunities wherever you're at. And I wanted to remind you, too, why we do this. This is not a project. This is not looking for someone to become a project for you. This is truly developing a friendship for someone, an eternal friendship, something that can change their eternity. If people think that you're approaching them like a project, that will shut the door immediately. You know, I had some people knock on my door a few years ago and made the mistake of answering it. And it was some people from another religion that were going door to door. And the first thing, they didn't even look me in the eye, and he says, do you want to know the wonderful story of this? And they go on and on and on. He wouldn't even look at me. And I thought, man, it felt so cold. It felt so callous. It felt so calculated. I was a project. And here I'm a Christ follower, and I wanted to sit down and take him in. I'm not part of that religion. The sect is what it is. And so I wanted to sit down, dude, let me tell you how to do this, all right? Number one, build a relationship with a guy. You don't have any right to come in and start doing this to me. I don't do this to anybody. See, you get that point of that? It feels so cold and calculated like you're a project. Don't do that. Absolutely do not do this. We do this because we care about these people, and we want them to know who the Lord is, and we want to have a relationship with them. It's not a project. In John 3:16, it tells us the reason why we do this. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. God loves them that he is willing to give up his son for them, and he doesn't want anybody to perish and to be with them in eternity. That is the reason why we develop these life-changing relationships. And in 2 Peter 3, verse 9, it says, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Underline that and circle that and highlight that. That is the key. That is why we do what we do, because the Lord does not want anyone to perish. But they need to know about Jesus before, so that they cannot perish. And that's our job, to share it with them. That is our motivation. It's not even to motivate to grow our church, so that we have bigger numbers. The motivation is so that people come to know the Lord, because God wants them to know them. God loves them and wants a relationship with them. All right? Did you get that emphasis? I hope you did. Don't treat it as a project. So develop these friendships because God wants to know them. In Philippians 2, verses 19 and 21, I like this description of one of the early disciples who was Timothy. And Paul is describing him. And I think it should be a description of how we treat people. But listen to this. He says, I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. I have no one else like him who takes a genuine interest in your welfare. For everyone looks out for his own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. Underline that phrase, who takes a genuine interest in your welfare. That is why we do what we do, and that's why we build friendships with non-believers. Because we take a genuine interest in their welfare. We need to be genuine, otherwise they'll sniff that out and they'll slam that door. We need to genuinely love them, because God loves them. So we look for these opportunities. We put ourselves in places where we can develop friendships with these folks. And then we ask the Holy Spirit to guide us to the right persons, because he's probably working behind the scenes somewhere, working on a person's heart. And he'll bring those people into our life so that we have this opportunity to share. And then we need to take the initiative. We need to be the person to go say hello. We need to be the one that walks across the room. We need to be friendly. We need to make small talk. We need to remember the other person's name. We need to be genuinely interested in that person. But we need to take that step. We need to be aggressors. And then you think about, you find something that you have in common, a connecting point with them. It could be that work is what you have in common and that you dread it, or that you share some of the frustrations that you have. In a good way, remember, not in a negative, overly negative way. But there's frustrations there, and it's okay to share that. Or maybe there's a relationship that you have, mother, father, husband, wife, cousin, aunt, or maybe they know someone that you know, but you use that as a common denominator. Maybe you have hobbies that you can relate with, like boating. Like in the series in our Bible studies, Bill Hybels, who wrote the book Just Walk Across the Room, and also the Bible study Just Walk Across the Room, his big interest is boating and how many people he's led to the Lord through the interest of boating. So you have a hobby. It could be fishing, sewing. I know a gentleman that makes handmade fishing poles, and he'll build relationships with people by providing community seminars on how to make a handmade fishing pole. And then through that, he builds relationships with people. Sewing, shopping, cooking, softball. That's what I like to use is softball. I don't, as a pastor, no one likes to hang out with me because they have to be nice or they have to be holy around me. Hide the beer, the preacher's here. You ever heard that? Anyway, so I have to purposely go find relationships. And so that's why I play softball in secular leagues, because that's where I get to know some guys and they get to know me just as a regular Joe guy. But I do that on purpose. Not, I mean, I love it. You can use the things that you love, but then use that purposefully in order to build relationships. One of the things that I've been challenged in this series is that I need to be even more purposeful in getting to know these guys that we play with and finding out more and more about what's going on in their life. I remember one young man, I found out later, to be a believer, which is awesome. But they had their first child, so I'd ask them about that child and ask them how they're doing and how's it going, and every time I would see them, and he really appreciated that, and then I find out that he's a follower of Christ as well. So great, but we can have a deeper relationship now that we have that in common. But I need to be more purposeful in who I relate with there. So that's the point of use your hobbies, camping, woodworking, whatever it might be. Use your activities like children's sports and in school and so on and so forth. I'll add to this. I'm learning in this series as well. I'm not a wild fanatic, what they would call an evangelist, that everybody, you know, you just touch people and they fall over and you bring them in. That's it. That's not how it works. I'm an introverted. I know it's kind of weird since I'm up here and I like to be in front of people, but by myself, I'm pretty introverted and I like to hide in my little office and read lots of books every day. That's my dream in life, you know, to read books. So I need to be more purposeful in that. I can just kick myself. For my kids are getting done with all their sports now. They've played softball or baseball in the summer. And I just think how many people that I missed out an opportunity on to talk with them and to relate with them. Now, we did meet a couple of people, and we had some good conversations. But I thought, oh, how many more I could have had. Or even with the coaches. I hardly ever interacted with the coaches. And so I feel bad about doing that. And I ask God to forgive me for not taking advantage of those relationships. So activities, life circumstances, addiction, loss of a loved one, not able to have children, illness, divorce. Use those hard things in life in order to build relationships with people that are going through similar situations as well. But so, Bill, look for something in common that you can build your relationship off of. Look for ways then to serve them and then meet their needs. Do things for them. Invite them over for lunch and have coffee with them. It's just about developing relationships. It's simple as that. Some of us need to know how to do that, though. I thought about teaching a class on how to build good friends. Because a lot of we don't know how to do that, some of us. It just kind of naturally happens. Some people are just naturally that way. Seth is a great example of that. Seth, everybody knows Seth. My goodness, I don't know if it's because his picture's in the post office and he's wanted, but every time coming, I know Seth. Seth has a great gift at building friendships with people. And I wish I had about 1/100th of that. That would be pretty awesome. But, you know, some people just have that personality, and some of us really have to work at that. So build friendships, okay? Develop friendships. Second thing is discover life stories. Discover their stories. You know, in the past, I had a friend who I would run into once in a while, and we would start talking to catch up a little bit, and not on what I was doing and what he was doing. I would come up to him, and he would say, "Hey, Aaron, how's it going? What have you been up to?" I said, "Well, I've been doing this and 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 this." And said, and by that time, I'm asleep. It's been an hour and a half already. And is it my turn? Yeah, it's your turn. I gotta go. I'm sorry. I got another meeting, and I'll see you later. And you get done, you're going like, geesh, you know, he's a good person. He's not a bad person. He's a follower of Christ. But it's all talk about never even getting in, you know, and sharing a little bit about what's happening in your life. So that can be frustrating for you. Not like you always have to have people hear your story. The point I use is that a lot of people want us to listen. And maybe he just needed me to listen that time. And then every time I ever meet him, he needs me to listen. Maybe I'm that sounding board for him. And maybe I should look at it in a different way like that. But you know what it's like to be listened to. Or you know what it's like for people to kind of brush you off or to say, you know, kind of look off to the side, I got to get out of here, when you're trying to tell them something like that. So imagine when another person that opens up their life to you, how important it is that we sit there and that we listen to their stories. Because it's in their stories that we'll learn who they are, we'll learn what they've gone through in life, and we'll also learn about opportunities that we have to maybe address some of the things that are taking place in their life. I like what James 1 verse 19 and 20 says. James says, everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Now, that's a principle. It's not talking specifically about what we're talking about here, but it's a principle about being good listeners. And that's jumping to conclusions and then getting angry about it without knowing the whole story. We have people that do that all the time. They blow up at us, and you go, whoa, 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 whoa. I had nothing to do with that. Well, then they get so worked up and they feel embarrassed for getting mad that they stay mad without even listening to the whole point of the story. Very frustrating. He says, that's not a godly way of doing things. So listen first. Think it through before you respond, and then respond appropriately. I like Proverbs 18, verse 13, what that says. It says, listen before you answer. If you don't, you're just being stupid and insulting. I like the directness of today's English version. Listen. That's great in marriages. That's great in children and parents and children. That's great in any kind of relationship. Listen before you answer. And if you don't, you're going to be stupid and insulting. So we need to listen to their stories, these people that we're developing relationships with. Because it's respectful and it's honoring to listen. People love to for others to listen to them because it helps us understand who they are and where they've been. And it reveals to us how we might relate to them. One writer writes this. He says, listening sensitively to their words, thoughts, fears, and hopes will often show us the divinely ordered point of contact in their lives. And once we listen, there might be an opportunity later to share our stories as well. And that's when we can be transparent about what we've gone through in life. And that's a positive thing. But make sure we listen first to them. And then when that opportunity comes, then we can share with them. And then we can relate our stories together. Now, the third aspect of living in 3D is then to discern next steps based on the Holy Spirit's prompting. Discern next steps. We need to give people time and space to grow and develop. Our goal in this stage is to look for ways to inch them closer to the Lord. And this is the whole point of this as well, and I should have started out by just saying that. The goal isn't just to bring them all the way over and slam the door and they've converted to Christ, and now they are going to a third world country to be a missionary. That's not necessarily our goal. Our goal is to get them one step closer to a relationship with God. When you think about it in that way, it's not so overwhelming. Because there's going to be some relationships that we have that maybe never ever crossed that line, but at least they had a positive relationship with a follower of Christ. And so they have a positive outlook. That if we can just think of just how can we help them maybe remove that barrier? How can we help them maybe move beyond this or move into that or help them solve this issue or help them feel better about that? That's our job, is to kind of discern which direction that we need to go in those areas. It's important to remember that we're just trying to move them closer to the Lord, not necessarily all the way, just in the right direction. And we really need to spend a lot of time in prayer asking God's Spirit to direct us in what we should do next. Listen to this passage in Acts 13, verse 2 and 3, where it talks about who's really directing the disciples and what they're supposed to be doing. It says, "While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, 'Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them.' So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off." Okay, there's a few things there that we need to notice. First off, it was the Holy Spirit that revealed to the disciples what their next step was. And that was revealed to them as they fasted and prayed. And so we need to spend some time thinking about what God wants us to do in the lives of these people that we've developed friendships with. Sometimes that means fasting. Fasting means to withdraw from sin. Sometimes it's not having any food to eat all day long as we think about the Lord and kind of live our life all day long in prayer. Sometimes it might be just removing our noon meal, and we dedicate that to praying and asking God's wisdom. And don't have time to explain fasting here, but it's mainly just seeking out the Lord and asking God's Spirit to direct us in what that next step was, and then listen for that. Now, what are some next steps? It might be to share our faith story. It might be to introduce them to a Christian friend. It might be to give them a book, maybe a book on apologetics that might answer some of their questions, maybe a book on pain and suffering. One of the deepest, hardest questions to approach. Why does God allow suffering in this world if he's such a good God? There's some resources. Maybe a good speaker that you heard. You can give them a tape or a CD, a DVD. Maybe you can send them to a website. Maybe you can connect them to someone that might have the answer or have been through that issue already in their life. Or maybe take them to a Christian event, or maybe come to a service project so that they get to know some other Christian people to find out that we're not as kooky as they might think that we are. We're a little bit kooky, but not as kooky as they think that we are. Or to a small group. Or maybe we can share something with them from the Bible, or just even sharing Jesus with them. Or maybe challenge them to make changes. Sometimes the Holy Spirit might prod us to simply say, "You know what? How's this working for you? It's not going too well, is it? Maybe you need to make some changes, but I'm here to help you make those changes." Maybe we need to be very blunt with them, and that's okay. You got to kind of weigh that out to find out what that next step was. Before we can do these kinds of things, though, we need to build trust with them because we love them and we want to have a relationship with them. You know that you'll accept a lot of feedback from someone that you trust. But if someone that doesn't know you and all of a sudden they come and start coming ripping you and you're going like, "Hey, dude, you don't know who I am. You don't know what I've been through. And you don't know the process that I went through. So what gives you the right to come and speak into my life?" Some people don't have that. But if it's someone that I've known for 5 years and they've known my life and they're very much a part of it, and then when they come down and say, "Hey, Aaron, you know what? Maybe you should part your hair on the other side. It looks a lot better that way." I'm more interested in hearing what they would say about that, or whatever it is that they're going to tell me, because I have a relationship with them and I trust them. Okay? And then we need to rely on the Spirit's timing and wisdom. 1 Peter 3, verse 15 and 16 says, "Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have." Always be ready. "But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against you, your good behavior in Christ, may be ashamed of their slander." What does it mean? It simply means be ready, think about it, do it in a kind, gentle way so that you don't offend people, and then do so in a respectful way so that even when people are critical of you, they say, "You know what, the guy's a good dude or the gal's a good lady. I just disagree with what they believe, but I can't You know, I can't critique their character. I know that they care about me. That's what he means by that. But just always be ready to help persons discern what that next step is for them. All right? So that's living in 3D. Develop a friendship and discern what the Spirit is saying to you. And then look and determine the next steps that you're going to. When you do that, man, you can move people closer and closer to the Lord. I hope this helps you realize that we need to look at people differently. Don't just, like I did in these games that I would go to with my kids. You know, a lot of times you're so busy, and I loved watching ball. I loved watching ball growing up. But sometimes when you have 4 games a week, every night of the week, it can become a drag. Here we go again. We got to sit through that, and you have to sit through some of those little league games that go on and on and on and on. Here I could have, instead of sitting there drinking pop and eating sunflower seeds, maybe that person that's sitting off over there by themselves, I probably should have snuck over there and sat down and got to know them a little bit better. We need to look at people with differently, everybody that we meet, as a person that God loves, that God died for, and that God wants to have an eternity. These relationships have eternal significance. So last week I asked you to write a letter to those that maybe helped you come across, to walk across the room and then shared Christ with. I want you to do that still if you haven't done that. But this week I want you to think about a couple people. Ask God to show you a couple people that maybe you can start to develop a purposeful relationship with. And start developing these 3D relationships with them. And just give it time to see how it can be fruit develop and the fruit that can evolve through that. And then begin to inch them closer to the Lord. I like what 1 Thessalonians 2 verse 8 says. It says, we loved you so much that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel, but our lives as well. And that's what we're talking about here, sharing our lives with others. It's building relationships with them. And in that process, we can help them know who God is. All right? Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you'll help us live in 3D now as we leave this place and look at the relationships around us. Help us notice the people that are there and help us discern what the Spirit is telling us to do and then maybe make that courageous walk across the room to begin a relationship with them. I know that seems scary and we don't know a lot of times what to say or we're worried that they might ask us a question that we can't answer or they might ask us a really hard question that we know that there isn't any answer or maybe we just don't know, we're shy, and we don't like to develop friendships. But whatever that barrier is, Lord, I pray that you help us overcome it. Because we're talking about a person's eternity here. So I pray that you give us a heart for them. But then also change us as a person too. Help us be contagious. Help us live our life in a way that really attracts people to you, Lord. We want you to receive the glory. And we want heaven to be filled with all those that are giving you the glory. So I pray that we can do the very best we can this week to build these relationships. And I pray this in your name. Amen.